And when you think about a John Hughes movie, I think if you had to distill the magic of it down to a sentence or two, what you would say is his movies exist emotionally in reality and plot-wise in myth. And the place where those two things connect, myth and reality, is this thing called Shermer, which is a very real place, but is just elusive and general and archetypal enough that we feel like we can graft our own experiences on top of it. This is Maine North High School in Des Plaines, Illinois.
Okay.
It had closed down as a functioning school by the time this movie was filmed, mm-hmm. Which is how they were probably able to get it cheaply and shoot there over the course of a month. It is the same building where in Ferris Bueller, a guy comes up to Jennifer Grey, Ferris Bueller's sister, holding a can and says, "Collection for Ferris Bueller," and she says, "Go piss up a flagpole," and then knocks the can out of his hands. The hallways in Ferris Bueller are the same hallways in this building where the Breakfast Club cast is running around trying to escape the principal. John Hughes used this building for both of them.
Right.
It is now a police station, and... And so if you drive by and take pictures of yourself walking down the stairs, which of course I did, you will frequently see cop cars pulling in and out of the roundabout in front. You will often see like a dispatcher on his or her lunch break smoking. And one of them rolled their eyes at me, which I'm sure is because someone like me shows up 15 times a day to take a picture of themselves walking down those stairs. And I did have a moment where I was like, wow, something really like holy and special to me in my life happened here. Mm. And I talked to a couple of people where they're like, I came from Salem, Oregon, and I'm doing business in Chicago, and I had to go for 2 hours to find the Breakfast Club High School. Like that was really special to me because it was not only a kind of devotion and dedication to the work of art itself, but it was also there was this odd feeling of spiritual kinship. Mm-hmm. Like I want to be physically close to the thing to express my love for the thing. It was something very special about that to me.
And when you watch these movies, what did Shermer, Illinois mean to you?
I remember, so I grew up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I remember distinctly feeling like pop culture, this thing I lived, breathed, and died for, all happened very far away from there. And this is growing up in the late 70s and early 80s. Like, television and movies were made in Los Angeles, and bands recorded live albums in New York and New Jersey, and I was waiting for to see some representation of pop culture of the middle of the country where I came from. And then when I fell in love with John Hughes's movies, and my father, who was from Detroit and was always very fond of pointing out when things happened in the Midwest because he had the same longing for an anchoring to pop culture that I had, he would always say, "That's Detroit, that's Indianapolis, that's Minnesota." And when we saw the John Hughes movies together, he would always say, "You know, that's Chicago. It's only 4 hours from here. We can go catch a Blackhawks game and then like whiz by where Ferris Bueller went to high school, you know, and only be 20 minutes away." So
one of the things about Shermer is that it's distinctly not the city. And this is really clear in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which is where there's like a real divide between like what is Chicago and what is Shermer. Chicago is where all amazing things happen and Shermer is where nothing happens. And so this is a period of time where suburbia had kind of curdled a little bit. You know, we're in the 80s, you know, the teens are pressing against the idea of suburbia. The city is a new place, maybe even a dangerous place at that point. What is the relationship between suburbia and the city mean in Brat Pack America?
So Shermer operates differently in each of the John Hughes movies that were set there. And as you said, in Ferris Bueller, it's very much set in contrast to Chicago. It's the place you leave on your day off to go and do all of the wonderful things one does on their day off. Mm-hmm. And then as it starts to get dark, you leave it again and come back to the safe yet boring, you know, streets and cul-de-sacs of this place called Shermer. And of course, we're talking about sort of the nadir of the American city, There was a whole breed of 80s teen films, which are the like we're a bunch of kids out in the big scary city late at night, you know, and as soon as the lights come down and all of the dangerous, read non-white, people come out, we need to get back in the car and make a run back for the safety of the suburbs. Yeah. That you could not make that movie today. That movie would make no sense to anybody today. In fact, like if you take a contemporary teen movie like The Perks of Being a Wallflower, you remember that wonderful scene at the end where they're driving through the Fort Pitt Tunnel and they're in the back of the truck and they're screaming triumphantly and then they say, "We are infinite." And the very last thing you see is the skyline of Pittsburgh. As if to say, "Welcome, youth of America, to Pittsburgh, the gateway to your future." I mean, that is a 2013 version of youth and urban America. Wow. Same movie made in 1983 has them driving the opposite way. Has them driving out of the tunnel into, you know, to like a subway or something, you know, like a Subway sandwich shop, and with Pittsburgh, you know, receding in the distance, like. But we are still in Ferris Bueller, for example, we're still at a time where the city is a field trip destination. Right. We're still at a place where kids go to have their fun. And the locations in Ferris Bueller are all within the downtown loop and Wrigley Field. And
I mean, that's one of the things that struck me. I watched Ferris Bueller again a couple nights ago, and they kind of have a lame sense of Chicago.
Oh, they like, sure do.
It's really like, it's really touristy. Like they're not there because they really know Chicago. They're there doing the exact same things that a literal field trip from school would take them to.
Yeah, I mean, they, for kids who live like three train stops away from Chicago, they act like they're there from Cody, Wyoming or something. Like, you know, I mean, all they need to do is like get a slice of deep dish pizza like in front of the Art Institute and they've completed their sort of day of touristing around Chicago. And to be fair, and this is only very slightly so, John Hughes was a White Sox, not a Cubs fan, and so he wanted to shoot the Wrigley Field scene at Comiskey Park, which would have at least taken them to the south side of Chicago. But the Sox were not in town that weekend, and so they had to film it much to his chagrin at Wrigley Field.
Oh, that must have burned him. Sox fans.
Oh yeah,
they don't enjoy the Cubs.
No. So yeah, it is. It's a really like not adventurous day off. Yeah. And the funny thing is, John Hughes himself, even though he was very aware of himself as a dweller in the north suburbs of Chicago, went all the heck all over the place. I spent a lot of time with one of his kids, and John Hughes wrote everything down. And he used to write down like all the concerts he would go to and the art exhibits he would go to as a teenager. The guy mapped all of Chicago on foot. And somehow we get this very myopic, parochial picture of Chicago in Ferris.